then love, as the primal act of the will, is simultaneously the point of origin and the center of existence as a whole. So earlier he said, in the previous paragraph, he's said that St. Thomas says that the first act of the will, in any human, the first act of the will is to love. And I believe he means it quite literally in the chronological sense of the first thing a child does volitionally, that is to say, with the faculty of the will, which is to say the rational appetite, the appetite of the intellect, what the passions are to our external and internal senses, the will is to the intellect. So the intellect knows. The will is called the blind faculty. It doesn't see. The intellect is part of the mind, and the will is part of the mind, but the will, just going by what the intellect sees, loves it or hates it, because the will also hates. But why does it hate it? It hates it because it lacks a good that ought to be there, huh? So that's the idea of hate, just like the idea of evil itself. Evil isn't a thing. It's the absence of a thing. So what he's getting at is what defines us, what makes, not what defines us according to our nature, but what makes us as a quality person, or a person of high quality or low quality, a person of moral rectitude or moral turpitude, is the quality of our loves. That's what he's getting at. And when he finishes this sentence and he says, what kind of person one is will be decided at this point, he footnotes it with a quote from St. Augustine, which I dug up the larger context. Now, he just footnotes it in Latin, one sentence. Qualis est quisque, qualis eius dilexio. Talis qualis is a fun construction in Latin. Talis est quisque, qualis eius dilexio. Such as a man is, just so is his love. Or it probably should be translated backwards in English into, just as a man's love is, so is the man himself. In other words, your quality is the quality of your loves. That's what it's getting to. Now, I actually dug up the passage in the fuller context, and it comes from a commentary on the first epistle of St. John, which should not surprise us, because St. John, the beloved disciple, not only writes so much about divine love in his gospel, but he writes especially about it in his epistles. And it's sad that the three epistles of St. John are so little read. They are packed with the most beautiful, sublime things about love and hate. They're not politically correct. They're not woke. And they are, in fact, a wonderful sort of antidote to the wokery and political correctness. So here's the larger context in Latin. Qualis est quisque, qualis est dilexio, eius dilexio. Terram diligis, terra eris. Deum diligis, qui dicam? Deus eris? Non audio dicere ex me, scripturas audiamus. Ego dixi, Dii estis et filii altissimi omnes. Such is each one as is his love. Love earth, and earth you shall be. Love God, what shall I say? You shall be a God? I dare not say it of myself. Let us hear the scriptures. Quote, I have said, you are gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. End quote. So what is he getting at here? The quality of divine charity is that it divinizes us. Now, you might say, yeah, but it's sanctifying grace, it divinizes us, brother. Well, yes. And sanctifying grace is infused and lost with divine charity, right? So you can have faith and be in the state of mortal sin and original sin. You can have hope and be in the state of mortal sin or even original sin. But you cannot have charity and be in either. That's not possible. Divine charity is the love of God, and it is not the same as sanctifying grace, although St. Robert Bellarmine thought they were the same, which I think is funny. But it's not the same as sanctifying grace, but it comes and goes with it. Sanctifying grace is what's called an entitative habit, which is a fun word, especially when I'm teaching high school religion, to throw at my students. Entitative, meaning it's a habit which alters the our being, alters our fundamental being. Now, it alters it accidentally, not substantially, but that'd take too long to explain. But it is something that changes the very being itself. So it's called entitative, from the Latin word ens, entis, meaning being. But sanctifying grace, along with all the other theological virtues and the moral virtues as well, is what's called an operative habit. It's a habit that helps us to operate, to function, to do. Huh? So we are elevated into the state of being God's children, having a new nature super added to us by sanctifying grace. That's the entitative bit. It alters our being. But then we need something that's going to help us to operate, to function in that higher mode of being. And that is the operative habit. Well, it's all the operative habits that we call the theological virtues as well as the moral virtues, so that we can actually function as a child of God. We can do as a child of God and not just be a child of God. That's the difference between being and operating, huh? So for that we need charity. Charity is we love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God. The twofold precept of charity, which surmises the entire New Testament revelation, which is only possible with the giving of the Holy Ghost, which St. Thomas again says is the core and essence of the new law. The new law of the gospel, St. Thomas says, is only secondarily a written law. Primarily, it is the giving of the Holy Ghost. And there's a text that I quoted last week talking about the Sacred Heart and talking about true love towards the degenerates who have a certain agenda that they're advancing and pushing down our throats now, which we don't need to go into here. The quote was this from Romans chapter 5, that the love of God is poured forth in our hearts. The love of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. And there's that is a very significant statement, because the Holy Ghost himself is the love of God. The Holy Ghost himself, and we're in Pentecost season here, the Holy Ghost himself is the substantial love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father. Therefore, charity in person, substantial love, is put into our souls, and that's how we get the operative habit of charity. In other words, we love God and we love our neighbor with the love of God, because the divine person who is God's love in person has come into our hearts. This isn't just nice poetry or nice imagery, it's theological precision. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is episode number 331, called The Quality of Our Loves. So let's continue with Dr. Pieper here. Let's see. All right. So, we finished the larger quote, I believe. I'm only halfway through. Then he quotes St. Thomas, Ex amore suo quisque vivit, vel bene, vel male. We got a vel there, either or. Whether for good or for evil, each man lives by his love. Okay, I'm sorry, that actually is from St. Augustine, not St. Thomas. Whether for good or for evil, each man lives by his love. So what you love, if it's bad, well, that's going to say you're a bad person. If what you love is good, well, that says something good of you. Obviously, he's talking about the divine love, the love of God, and the love of neighbor as oneself for the love of God. But if we love this world, we are worldly and we are part of the city of man, not the city of God. More on that in a moment. Continuing with Dr. Pieper, it is his love and it alone that must be in order for the person as a whole to be right and good. That says so much. It is his love and it alone that must be in order. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, don't we need the other moral virtues? or don't we need the moral virtues? Don't we need the prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude? People wrote a book on those too. Don't we need sanctifying grace? Well, the answer is yes to all of the above. Yet, what prudence is for all the moral virtues, that is its foundation and the queen of all the moral virtues, charity is for all of the virtues, absolutely speaking. So I've called prudence the traffic cop of the virtues, which is kind of a lowbrow way of putting it. But prudence regulates in all of our virtues. And St. Thomas says that without prudence, none of our virtues would be virtues. We wouldn't have virtue at all if we didn't have prudence. So that's true, and we don't take that away. But charity is the soul of all of the other virtues. It gives form to all of them, because how you are prudent and just and brave or courageous and temperate is going to be regulated by your love. Faith, of course, is not something that even lives or can save you unless you have the virtue of charity in your soul. So too with hope. Hope, which is not living because it's animated by charity, it will get you nowhere. It will not reach the end towards which it hopes without charity. So charity being the height of all of the virtues, it contains them all and it commands them all. Now, I think I may have said this in another show, but it's worth repeating. St. Thomas says, charity has both its elicited acts and its commanded acts. And what does that mean? Well, there are acts that are proper to all the virtues, right? To be just is to render to another what is his due, right? Now, you can be both prudent and just at the same time. And you might be, in being just, you might have to practice a certain form of temperance and so forth. So, but with charity, there are acts that are proper to charity. To love is proper to charity. To love God, to love one's neighbor.